Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On this fine Wednesday afternoon, 94 WIP. You know what's always a good day? A Ray day. You get the chance to talk to the Diddy, and we get that chance every single Wednesday at this time. Although, unfortunately, this is the first time after the Eagles just lost a playoff game this year. Let's welcome him in. Reaction to what we heard from Howie and Nick today, the offseason up ahead, and even just that playoff game that was. The Diddy, Mr. Ray Dininger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Joseph. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. I was really hoping we'd be gearing up for an Eagles-Packers game. I didn't think it was too likely, but I thought there was a shot. I knew about a quarter into that Eagles-Bucks game. That Eagles-Packers thing ain't happening. Ray, let's go back to the game.
How about the first series?
The first series, exactly.
Game over.
As soon as Derek Barnett had that penalty, it's like, all right, that's the end of it.
You know what? I couldn't believe it. We did the pregame show on NBC. And none of us talked beforehand about who was picking who.
Yep.
You know, the show always ends with predictions. And I was the only one to pick the Bucks.
No way.
That's unbelievable.
Seth, Barrett, and Michael all picked the Eagles.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I was floored. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. Well, we had a poll, and I think it was 54% picked the Eagles, right, James? 54?
Yeah, and I know on my Saturday show, I was the only person who picked the Bucks on the show. Every single caller who called up and talked themselves into the Eagles. It was a wild thing.
Well, that's what it was.
It gets everyone a little absurd sometimes with that.
It's exactly right. Including my colleagues. I can tell, you know.
All right, so Ray, the game happened. What are your takeaways from the game and what it means for the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward?
Well, I said this on the post-game show. I'll repeat myself, but I apologize if I am. But, you know, Jalen's post-game comments, you know, when he said, you know, this game doesn't define us. My reaction, I said on the post-game show, is yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. I mean, it defines you perfectly. You know, you're a 9-9 mediocre team that got to the playoffs because they expanded it enough to allow you in. And today you went on the field with the world champs and you saw just how far away you are. I mean, if you want to be a 500 team, congratulations, you're there. But if the idea is to build a team that's going to win a Super Bowl, what today told you is how far away you are.
Does it concern you that he has that mentality, Ray? Is that a little, like, because we've been so impressed with how he presents himself,
But do you hear that and say, man, like, he almost sounds like an Eagles fan trying to talk his way into it, like Eagles fans picking the Eagles to beat the Bucs last week because we want it to beat? Does it almost strike you like, oh, that's a little out of touch, man?
Only if I thought that he really believed it. You know, I think this was an in-the-moment kind of I'll say what I feel like I kind of should say for the sake of our team, make our fans feel better. But I think he's mature enough and smart enough that he knows. I mean, he should certainly know. But if that feeling still exists in the front office, you know, if there are people in the front office who are going to be making the big decisions over the next 6 months, if that's how they feel, yeah, then you really got something to worry about.
So, Ray, let's tackle the Hurts issue here. It's going to be one of, if not the most dominant topic over the next couple months. Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles should be locked in with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback of the franchise next year because he showed some nice things this year and is 23 and projects to get better? And so that's it. And he's cheap, by the way. Lock him in. Simple. Or do you think the Philadelphia Eagles should be open-minded to a different quarterback if they can pull it off?
I think you owe it to yourself and everybody else to be open-minded and see what happens on the market, see what happens around the league, see what other options are out there. But at this point, unless something really big happens, I'm okay with staying with him for another year. I really am. My feeling is, barring some cosmic event that's going to change the landscape here over the next few months, if I were the Eagles, what I would do is I would take this draft, I would take these picks, and I would go shopping for defensive players, and I would use this draft to rebuild the defense, which clearly needs rebuilding, and give Jalen Hurts another year. To see what, I mean, you saw how much he grew this year. It was considerable. I mean, what happened in Tampa, sort of colors how everybody feels about him. But, you know, the people in Arizona, are they having doubts about Kyler Murray now? I mean, you have to look at the bigger picture. You have to look at the body of work, who he is, where he's come from, how much he's played, and how much he's improved. I mean, there's a real argument to be made, and this is kind of where I come down on it. Give him another year. And see, you know, see how much these coaches can do with him. See how much, if he works, how much his work in the off season, and you know he's going to work in the off season, with another year of experience and another year of growth. See what he can be. But in the meantime, I take this draft capital I've got, and I go heavy for defense because that's, I mean, you got major issues over there.
I feel the same way you do. I do wonder whether his perceived improvement over the second half of the year would still hold in our minds if we would have played winning teams in the second half of the schedule. I think my enthusiasm would be decreased somewhat. You talk about the defense a little bit there. I'm wondering who was more responsible for the substandard play this season, the coordinator or the personnel?
I don't know that you can separate them, John. The personnel clearly wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. But if you're the coach, then you got to coach to what you have. You know, it's all well and good to say, well, you know, unless Jonathan Gannon, he can only coach what he's got. Well, do more with it than you did.
Yeah.
I mean, to keep playing the same style of defense over and over again and just sort of throw up your hands and say, well, you know, geez, our defensive line, we just don't get much pressure. But I'll keep playing the way I'm playing now. Now, from week to week, you have to figure out something. If this is what you got, then from week to week, you have to say, you know what, well, this ain't perfect, but what I'm doing right now ain't working, so let's try something else.
Yeah.
And I thought Sunday's game was a classic case of that. I mean, you had already been down this road to Tom Brady once before, and you saw what he did to this defense. And, you know, I saw an interview with Rob Gronkowski this week when it was Wednesday, Thursday, leading into the game. And somebody asked him the question, how would you describe the Eagles' defense? And he said, safe.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said that, I thought, okay, I hope Jonathan Gannon hears this. Because they know exactly what you're going to come out with on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you, guess what? If that's what you come out with, you're done. You're done. Yeah. Save yourself the charter air flight, you know, because it's Wednesday. You're done. They already know. They've already scouted inside and out what they did to you on the Thursday night game. You got to come back with something else. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. And here comes, you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, guess what? You got the same result.
It felt like what he did change up was he did rotate between zone and man more than I had seen him do previously. He did jockey the safeties a little bit, where they start out looking like they're too deep and that safety rotates down late. So he, I get, but it wasn't enough, you know, like for Jonathan Gannon, who is so ultimately like coaching through fear at times,
right?
Like what he did was just like the tip of the iceberg compared to what he could have done. And I know you don't have the correct personnel to be doing all sorts of, you know, cool-looking blitzes and things like that, but you can make it a little more confusing for an offense, and it just wasn't ever enough.
No.
Stemming from the fear factor.
I agree. No. And it was all, I look back over the two games. I mean, Brady completed, a million passes. He completed like 80% of them. And none of them... You look back, how many of them were more than 20 yards?
Yeah.
Like none.
Yeah.
Like none. I mean, the guy completed like 70 passes, and they were all 5 to 12 yards. I mean, he just cut you to pieces underneath. You know, and the idea that, you know, the so-called chunk plays or explosive plays, you know, he don't care about that. You know, he's just going to pre-snap read. He's going to look at what you got and say, okay, you're going to give me 8 here? You want to give me 9 there? You want to give me 4 here? I'll take it. I'll take it all day long. And that's, as a defensive coordinator, you can't let that happen. I mean, you got to do something, or else you're going to wind up with the result that you got, which is just the game's over at halftime.
So many issues to discuss with the Diddy here. We'll continue to do so. 215-592-9494. You can hop in on the phone lines as well, whether it's a question for Ray about the season, the future. Of course, we'll continue to react to the press conference Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman had about an hour ago here on WIP. That is squarely on the table. Speaking of Sirianni, by the way, Nick Sirianni will be a guest of Angelo's show tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. tomorrow, the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. And I'm sure you can expect, as Angelo is wont to do, a question and a follow-up. A question and a follow-up. Because those follow-ups are a lot of times where you get the best answers. And certainly that was some of the case with the press conference today, so it'll be great to hear Sirianni with Angelo tomorrow again, 9 a.m. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Kenny in Northeast Philadelphia. Hey, Kenny.
Yeah, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Kenny.
Yeah, I agree with Ray 100%. I mean, let's see what we got next year because of his improvement, you know? And I mean...
Yeah, but Kenny, if you notice what Ray said to start that, he's open-minded to considering a different quarterback. I mean, he didn't say be closed-minded. I mean, Kenny, if the Green Bay Packers call you up and say, hey, we might trade Aaron Rodgers, do you want to have a discussion? Are you going to say no, I don't want to have the discussion?
I would, because he's 38 years old.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that's foolish. Because I think what you're seeing with Brady, who, by the way, is 44, is that an in-shape quarterback – with a desire to play, which you'd have to make sure Rodgers still has, and in the modern era where the rules are what they are, Aaron Rodgers could give the Eagles 5 to 7 more years.
You were just saying that you don't have a number two receiver that he can go to.
Yeah, but you know what? Quez Watkins will look a lot better with Aaron Rodgers than he does with Jalen Hurts.
But I'm just saying a one-year win – okay, for a Super Bowl.
But I don't think it
you
is
want
a one-
to build a team.
Yeah, but you're missing my point, Kenny. I don't think it is a one-year thing. Yes, I would
what
not.
What happens if Kelsey retires?
It's a setback.
It's a big setback for Rodgers.
But, Kenny, Aaron Rodgers being on this team next year would be 4 times more valuable than Jason Kelsey being on this team.
Can I just
4
say something?
Times.
The other day, I saw Kelsey get manhandled. For the first time I ever saw Kelsey get mad.
Yeah, that D-tackle's really good, man. That guy's a great
player. He looked up when he got thrown to the ground like, what just happened to me?
Yeah, Vita Vea is he's a real – and listen, Kelsey's great. Vita Vea had a good day.
But I would like to build for the future.
I understand.
With the defense.
I get your point. Kenny, give me someone universally loved.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. You got it, Kenny. Appreciate the call. To Billy T in Princeton. Billy T, what's up, buddy?
God, I'm throwing up here on that last answer.
Well, it's funny. I said, and I like Obama, but I said earlier, no politician's going to win this because no politician is universally loved. So
right, I'd say Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's it's going to cut both ways. We all understand that.
Yeah, I know. I'm only kidding. He's entitled to his misguided opinion. Anyway, listen, what I see here is I think you got to stay with your quarterback, and I think it's going to be very critical the cross training that young man does in the off season. Number one, he's got to work on his eyes. What I suggest he does is he goes to an indoor gun range where they have the targets pop up and they have them pop up quickly. And he goes in there, and I don't know whether he used baseballs, softballs, or maybe he wants to throw footballs at them. But that's number one. Number two, with the arm strength, he's got to get a weighted football. The weighted footballs, I think, go around 20 ounces. And the only problem with that cross training with that is that you don't want to develop tendonitis.
It's got to be hard on your elbow.
Well, how about I just use a regular football?
John,
because that's what he throws, a regular football.
Right. But seriously, man. But there are certain drills you can do, John.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Back in the day, I took 24 baseballs, I waterlogged them, I put them in a bucket with York weights on top of them so that they couldn't come up for about a week. But I didn't know, you know, maybe this one was 12 ounces and this one was 9. Mm-hmm. You didn't know. So it was definitely tough on the elbow. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing is, I think Nick Foles is an answer for this team to come in as a backup. He'd be great teaching this guy with these Nick's progressions. I thought they were great. I don't know what you guys think about that, Ray. You know, you watched a lot of Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was one of the best. Plus, he throws a great deep ball. And I think that was the problem with Quez Watkins. I don't Hurts would get a air under the football, but he wasn't accurate with it, letting the guy run under it. He was overthrowing him, and he was putting a lot of air. Sometimes you got to put a lot of air, sometimes a little
air. Well, Hurts also moves around a lot, which is not ideal for designed deep passes. You can have those scramble plays, I'm heaving at 35 yards, but if you have a designed play to throw it 40 to 50 yards, if the quarterback's all over the place behind the line of scrimmage, that's not easy to design that, you know, to effectively pull that off.
I'm telling you, the indoor gun range is a big deal. That's what the FBI uses. That's what the military uses. That's what the police use. Because you don't know when you're going into a hostage situation.
Well, listen, Billy, all that aside, I mean, I'm sure they can. They might even have one of those things, like where there's golf simulators.
Baloney. I've never heard of it.
No, someone should create a simulator for a quarterback in the off season to be able to, you know, stand in the pocket, so to speak, and guys are coming at him with some technology. Exactly. I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, that's a good simulator, right. Isn't it?
Well, I think what Billy T's saying is it's hard to get 22 guys together in the offseason, which I guess it is. All right, Billy T, give me someone universally loved.
One more quick comment. Years ago, I did speed reading, Evelyn Wood. And the mechanical perception on a page was over 6,000 words. And I couldn't fathom that, and it was because you strengthen your eye muscles.
I got you. Who's universally loved, Billy Tay?
Betty White.
Alive. Got to be alive.
Oh, gee, Jiminy Crickets.
Go with Jiminy Crickets. He's very well liked.
There you go. Hey.
All right, Billy Tay, we got you, man. You got no answer there. Jiminy Crickets, not actually. Not actually alive. I was just,
there's other than taking Jalen Hurts to the FBI target range. How about calling Jordan Palmer? How about calling Jordan Palmer and say you got a date, a week open,
yep,
so we can send our quarterback out there and work with you. You see what this guy has done with see the quarterbacks that have spent an off season with him.
Who's someone that had a big rise with him?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen,
yeah,
Joe Burrow. All those guys worked with him and came away so improved. I mean, the improvement in all of those guys is dramatic.
Ray, were you – so I like the idea, of course. Were you taken aback a little bit with how much Hurts struggled in the game? Because I was. I think John was also. I mean, even those that, you know, think he's got a bright future have got to acknowledge that was a pretty damn bad playoff debut.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, it doesn't help that you're down 17-0 before you can blink.
No, but even when it was 7-0, or I don't know, 14 or 10 next, I can't remember. I guess it was 14. Like, it was just the lack of a – I mean, basically what Tampa did, basically, was said we're going to load up so that the Eagles' running game just can't just blast through us.
Right.
And we're going to put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands.
Yeah.
We know we, with Tom Brady, are basically going to score 30 points at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if Jalen Hurts can score 30 points passing the ball.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much what they did. And it was really obvious really early that he had no counterpunch to that.
Well, he and his coaches. Yeah, I mean, don't put this all on him.
No, I shouldn't. I don't mean to say it that way, but I know this. His lack of timing, accuracy, and adjustments, and yes, adjustments should have come from Sirianni, but a seasoned quarterback, which he's not, but a seasoned quarterback would have known to make those adjustments even if he's not told by the coach. I found all that very alarming.
But that's not even in the game plan. Like, what you're talking about audibilizing?
Yeah, I'm talking about
it's not even in. But you can't fault a guy for doing something he's not supposed to or allowed to do.
But that's because they don't think he's good enough to do it, which is part of why I think the Eagles should look for a different quarterback.
He's 23.
I know.
Kenny Pickett is older than he is. He's got experience, but he's young. He's learning. The reason Nick had that huge, I mean, he went on and on today about all the things they can do to work to, you know, bring out the best in him and work on his deficiencies. It's because he's got a lot of them. The staff knows that, but they also know that he will work and he will get better. They have a lot of faith in that. And, you know, Ross brought up a point yesterday, you know, that you do make a jump at some point early on. A lot of times it's between year one and year two, but I think in his case you could – you can make the argument that this is almost like that, year one to year two. First full year starting. He's going to know exactly what needs done because it sounds like Nick, they're pretty comprehensive about their approach. And I think he'll be much improved in a lot of these ways. I still don't know that he'll be able to get up there and Peyton Manning it at any point next season. I don't think we should expect that. But he'll be... he'll be at least more on time. You know, that's a big plus.
Ray, were you concerned with what you saw the other day?
Yeah, but not shocked. I mean, it's at given his level of experience in his first postseason game against the world champs, yeah, it's a tough ask, you know? I mean, and so he became, there's no question he became flustered. There's no question that he became a little unraveled. And did some things that were outside what we normally see of him do. And I kind of, that surprised me just a little bit. Because I thought, I didn't think they were going to win. And I certainly didn't expect him to have a big day. But I kind of thought that, you know, I didn't expect him to kind of come unglued the way he did. But I've seen other young quarterbacks in the same position do the same thing.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not a disqualifier. But I put a lot of this on the coaches. I really do. I mean, they saw what Todd Bowles was doing, and it was pretty obvious early on. You know, you're jamming the line of scrimmage. You know, you're not allowing him to go to his right. You're pushing the edge there, so you're forcing him. If he's going to move, he's going to move to his left, and you know he doesn't throw well going to his left yet. Tip your hat to Todd Bowles. I mean, it was a really good game plan, and they executed it extremely well because they have good players over there. But if you're the Eagles' offensive staff, I mean, pretty early you say, okay, here's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to do about it? And they didn't. I mean, you know, the first half, they played like they had one receiver. It was Dallas Goedert. It's everybody, Goddard, 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 Goddard. Okay, you know, he's a good receiver. I get it. But then at the half, you go to halftime, you're down 17-0. We say, geez, you know, oh yeah, look over there. Oh, God, Devontae Smith, we forgot he was hit with us. Okay, second half, let's go out and let's just try to throw the ball to Devontae Smith. The second half, it was Devontae Smith, 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 Smith. You know, that's no way to run an offense. One of the beauties of the way Brady runs his offense in Tampa Bay is it's entirely inclusive. I mean, everybody's involved. He's spreading the ball around. They're running some. He's passing it to this guy. He's passing it to that guy. Nine different receivers caught the ball in that game. Yeah, and no real big plays other than the Evans play at the end. But it was an inclusive offense where all the elements and all the players that all worked together. You never got that feeling with the Eagles offense. And
I agree.
Okay, so some of it comes down on Hurts and some bad decisions and some bad throws. But I put more of the blame on the coaching staff for, I think, being very myopic in their play calling.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to John in South Philadelphia. Good afternoon, John.
Joe, I love you, man. You are the man. I love you. But listen, Joe, we all know Jalen Hurts is not the man. But if you're going to blame somebody, you got to blame the guy that drafted him and paid him. So that's two quarterbacks in 5 years, and we still have nothing to work
with.
Well,
I'm still glad he got drafted. I've said that the whole time, John, because he's an option.
But it was a draft pick wasted because
I disagree.
Yes, it was. Come on, Joe. Joe, you're just saying to yourself that he's the problem. If he's the problem, why draft him and pay him, Joe?
Well, first of all, when you say pay, he's got a rookie contract, so it's not like he's on a
– It don't make a difference.
It does make a difference. A guy that makes about $1 million makes a lot less than a guy that makes like $30 million. It makes a huge difference.
But listen to what you're saying. If you're saying yourself that he's not the quarterback and he's not the quarterback
– I'm not – John, I'm actually not saying that.
Listen to me, John.
Listen to me for a sec, just so everyone's clear of what I'm saying. If Jalen Hurts is the quarterback next season, starting quarterback here, because they can't get someone else, cool. I'm good. I'm not doing cartwheels, but I'm good. Like, pretty good. Nice guy to develop. Let's see what can happen. Figure it out 12 months after that. But I'm going to try to upgrade now if I can get one of the other guys. That's where I'm at.
What about all the other holes on the team, Joe?
I'm trying to upgrade that also.
That goes back to Howie.
Of course it does.
You say give him his flowers. We ought to give him his flowers because the team is dead. The roster is dead.
No, the team's not bad. The team's mediocre. Team's average.
Joe, yesterday you mentioned all the players that were no good for this team. Who drafted him and paid him? Howie.
I know.
Right. Come on. I got a guy, Joe. Come on.
Talk to
me. If you can get a cereal named after you, have an action figure, and do a sitcom, it got to be Urkel, Joe. It has to be Urkel.
Urkel. All right, John. So he goes to fiction. We're really talking.
Jaleel White, I guess, is the answer.
I guess that's what he's saying, because we're looking for real-life humans. So Jaleel White. I like him a lot.
It was Urkel cereal.
I didn't either.
Yeah, probably not currently. Maybe 25 years ago there was. Ray, do you have a good did I do that impression? Are you able to crank up an Urkel impression?
No.
Seltzer?
Well done, Ray. Oh, you don't rip Ray for not. Oh, if me or John, Ray, so you don't know. If he asks us to do impressions, he's like, oh, you're too scared to do it.
Well, hold on.
Ray doesn't do one. You're like, okay, no problem, Ray.
Do you know why?
Because he's Ray.
Correct, because Ray is the correct answer.
Maybe you should learn.
Who is universally loved?
Oh, you just stole Paul from Downingtown's answer.
It's too bad.
Wow.
And Paul was going to be the
Yet again, as always.
Listen, I only went there, James.
Poor Paul. Paul was about to win by saying Ray to Ray. It would have been such a moment.
It would have been a moment.
And you just ruined it.
Well, first off, I obviously didn't know he was about to say that. Secondly, I only went there because, James, you pressed me. I mean, so, you know, don't get mad at me.
It's all on you, Jimmy.
There you go.
All right.
Right back around, right?
All right. Paul.
By the way, who's your who's the leader in the clubhouse on Universally Love? This is an interesting question.
Well,
I think Oprah.
Oprah's.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oprah's big.
Or Denzel.
Denzel's big.
Vin Scully is a big one, too.
Vin Scully is also big.
Oh, got some good nominations
here. Dalai Lama's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I think he's overrated, but that's all right.
All right.
Maybe it's just
what
me.
A take from Ray. I love it. The Dalai Lama's overrated. Wow.
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, universally loved. I mean, mm-hmm. Got some good answers so far.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got the first one that came to my mind, you've probably already gotten. Somebody said Tom Hanks.
Yeah, well, that's
I said
one.
Tom Hanks, yeah. Ray, and Joe ripped me for it.
Joe
was like, oh, Tom Hanks isn't that great.
Really? No, Ray.
I've never heard a bad word said about Tom Hanks.
That's what I said.
Two things. First off, in the 70s, he tried to karate chop Fonzie in Al's. And I, as a Happy Days fan and a Fonzie fan, I wasn't happy with him for that.
Uh-huh.
Second thing.
It was like his first role.
It was like his first role.
He was like a guest.
He's also playing a role. It's not like Tom Hanks.
That character did it. That part I'm joking about. What I am serious. Ray, I do like Tom Hanks. And I like him a lot. I just find the
dastardly
adoring love that so many Americans give Tom Hanks a little over the top.
Every American. It really
right.
is.
That's my point.
It's an anti-American sentiment that you're airing here.
I have to tell you, Joe. I've read a ton of stuff, and I really enjoy reading things about biographies and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have never heard anyone say a bad word about Tom Hanks.
Well, listen,
never
till today.
I mean, the people who worked with him. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they keep asking him back on Saturday Night Live, because he's such a mensch.
Oh, let's go.
I
don't hate him.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Let's go to Paul in Downeytown. Yo, Paul.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hi, Joe, man, it's all right. You stole my answer. I'll pivot offline. How about I'll throw Bill Murray out there? He ain't no Ray Diddy, but he's Bill Murray.
You know, ironically, another one that I think's a little overrated, because I find his whole act tiresome, honestly.
Yeah, he's a, He's a good guy, though. He's so cool when you meet him in public. But anyway, I think John's on it. I don't think we can justifiably give up on the kid just yet. His coachability, his attitude, everything about Jalen.
Plus his performance the other day, Paul, really speaks volumes of, yeah, let's lock in with this guy.
Well, so, you know, that is a concern because in his championship game as a young college athlete, he had a horrible performance in the championship game. So there does seem to be a bright spotlight, two big moment kind of a thing. But, you know, maybe, you know, who knows, right? There's a lot of growing pains in professional sports and things like that. The kid showed me enough throughout the season. He showed me enough in the last year and a half to where I'm not willing to just be like, you know what, forget it. This kid, he's never going to do it. I can't get there. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's just done enough. He showed enough. And most of all, he's got the right attitude. I mean, his teammates.
Well, he does. He checks all those boxes, and we know that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that means a lot to me. Like the clubhouse, the way the fellas treat him, like his teammates, that means a lot to me. You know, and
that doesn't mean it doesn't mean as much to me as it does to you. It does matter, but being able to stand in the pocket and deliver the football, honestly, it matters a lot more.
It does. I mean, that's all the Super Bowl winners, as we know, we've been talking about, are guys that have that ability. They're not necessarily guys that are quick to bail on the pocket, but there's just something about this kid that just, to me anyway, it just seems.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you glad Tobias Harris is on the Sixers?
No, but that wasn't for that move in the beginning.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because he also is a nice guy. He also is someone that we as fans are proud that he's a Philadelphia athlete. He's a great dude, but he's not good enough to be paid what he's paid. And I'm not making a financial comparison to Hurts, but Hurts has the most responsibility probably of any athlete in Philly sports in that he's the quarterback of the Eagles. I mean, that supersedes Embiid. It supersedes Bryce Harper. Like, no team's fate hangs more in the balance than the football team's fate with the quarterback. Nice guy, but I
disagree with you, Joe. I guess what I'm thinking is that there's a part of me, I have this sentiment that getting rid of Jalen right now might be penny wise, pound foolish.
Right.
Where Tobias Harris is exactly the opposite. I mean, there's no part about keeping him or even signing him in the first place to that deal that was penny wise. It was foolish from jump.
Paul, always good to hear from you, man. Ray, did you see that thing the other day? That for Tobias's last game, which was 7 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. And 6 fouls, he made $439,000 in that game.
I didn't see that. Saw the box score, but I didn't see the. Maybe that's what we need to do. Start adding that column to the box score, salary per game. Put that in there.
Not a bad idea.
Could you imagine that?
That holds you accountable.
Oh, buddy. Hey, Ray.
Just expand the box score out a little bit. You know, you got your offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, assists, block shots, and then how much, you know, then a dollar sign. How much did he get paid for this game?
So, Ray, speaking of accountability, can the Eagles, I'll use the phrase reasonably, bring back Jalen Reagor? Can he be back? Is there any hope? Is it worth the investment of another training camp, or should they just say, listen, this guy doesn't have it. The town just can't stand even seeing him out there. He hurts our quarterback and our offense. And by the way, it's not like let's transition to a number 5 receiver guy because he doesn't do any special teams. The only ones he does, he muffs punts.
Right.
Just be gone, be done with him. I mean, Ray, what, in your opinion, should be the Eagles' strategy with Jalen Reagor?
Let him go. I think it's obviously a really tough pill for Howie to swallow here. First round pick, you know, and we're not even going to get into the Justin Jefferson part of it, but just what he represents.
Yep.
Because we've talked about this before. I never thought he was that good. You know, I mean, when they drafted him in the first round, I fell off my chair. I said, what, are you kidding me? Jalen Reagor in the first round? Yeah. So it's not like here's a guy that I saw. Look, a similar case was kind of Aguilar. Not quite to this extreme, but similar after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I kept fighting the fight for Aguilar, saying, look, I know I saw this guy play in college. I saw this guy play at Southern Cal. I know he's a better player than this. You know, maybe give him another chance, and maybe he's going to unlock it. You know, that was my argument with Aguilar because I had seen him play in college, and I knew he had real talent. I never saw that with Reagor at TCU. To me, I had a fourth-round grade on him. So to me, what has happened with him? I didn't expect it to be this brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't expect him to be losing you games, which he's doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the idea that he's really talented. Bring him back next year, maybe he'll find. No, it ain't there.
So do you think they will do what you're advocating, Ray? Do you think Howie and Sirianni say, "Yep, it's so bad, we're going to take the cap hit, we're going to cut him, and we're just going to move on"? Yes, or you think they do that?
No.
Yeah.
We were told in the press conference today, Ray, by Nick Sirianni, that Jalen Reagor is an extreme talent. You know that he actually was less productive this year than he was his rookie year? And do you realize he started 24 out of 28 games? 24 out of 28 yeah. games. That guy. This season, he had under 300 yards receiving.
I mean, that is almost impossible in pro football in this day and age.
He started really 24 of 28 games in two seasons. That's crazy.
Yeah, and
that level of wow.
And didn't he miss
it was the injury
product?
That he missed
the start of the year last mm-hmm. year? He missed the beginning of the season. After that, he started playing. He started. It's a disaster. John, what's your gut feeling on that? Do you think they will get rid of him?
Keep him around.
My gut feeling is that they will get rid of him. But I know, James, you disagree with me on that.
Yeah, I said that yesterday. I don't think there's any chance. I think even the way they talked about in that press conference, like, you know, they talked about what he needs to do for next year. We already met with Jalen Reagor. We're working with him. Like, I don't think there's any chance.
Yeah,
how
they've
there's
already
no
sat
chance
down
how he's going to concede
them.
It. He's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
This is Howie, man.
They're
Howie
talking,
does not let those first-round picks go. Like, it just
said,
doesn't happen.
They're talking to him about continuing his growth. That, to me, sounds like they're going to give it another chance.
Well, that, of course, they have to do, whether they're going to give it a shot or not. I mean, they have an obligation of the athlete in the exit interview to tell him what he can do better. They also, theoretically, could be trying to talk to other general managers with a press conference to basically say, hey, this guy's still talented. I'll trade you my problem for your problem. Could
continuing his growth? Like, continuing
Look,
his growth.
I'm not
Think
defending Reagor.
He was
please.
Worse this year than he was
Why
as
a rookie.
Why are
you such a big Reagor fan,
And
Joe?
We were up in arms at how bad he was as a rookie.
Why am I a bigger fan of Reagor than Tom Hanks? Let's go to Christian right now in Philadelphia. What's up, Christian?
Oh, nothing much, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
So, I want to start off real quick with the Eagles. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the guy. I just know that by bringing in the contract of Deshaun Watson or even Russell Wilson, you're pretty much, you know,
done.
Strapping yourself. Yeah, like you're pretty much strapping yourself cap-wise if you do that.
Yes.
Well, like, Christian, but do you understand? I want to take this topic on.
Okay.
Do you understand of the 8 remaining teams left in the NFL playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is 7 of those 8 pay their quarterback a ton of money. Like, this idea that you can't pay your quarterback a ton of money and win is not true.
Yeah, but Joe, you're making it sound like if you pay your quarterback a ton of money, then that automatically covers up your other holes. We have too many holes to do that.
I don't mm-hmm. agree with that. I don't.
And that's where I disagree with people is I would rather keep the draft picks and fill the holes than trade, you know, whether it's 1, 2, or maybe even all 3 to get a quarterback and, you know.
Yeah, we're not ready to win. We're not ready to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying we won't be there. I think this year we could really make some vast improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they talked about – I like the way Howie actually put some things in the press conference today, saying – we're not to where we are good enough to be hosting a playoff game yet. We're going to continue to build. That's the mm-hmm. goal. I mean, I think that's sensible. I think it's a joke to say that this – like, it's a joke to pretend like this team was good, even close to good enough to do that this year because they weren't. But at least they seem to recognize that. Like, they have a lot of work to do. He basically put it out there. They have a lot of change that needs to be made to get to where they're that good personnel-wise. And if you make this move where you pay Aaron Rodgers $45 million, you can't make other moves.
All right, Christian, who's universally loved?
Well, I think the one I had was taken. I was going to say Morgan Freeman.
Has been said. You got anyone else?
How about The Rock?
The Rock has been said. Anyone else?
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey, you got it, man.
I like Steve Harvey.
Dude, what is up with Judge Steve Harvey's show?
I actually watched that last night.
Did you really?
Did you really?
I did.
Is it any good?
Yeah.
Did you really? Wow.
I watched it.
That's outrageous.
I wanted to see Abbott Elementary, and it was before Abbott
Elementary.
Abbott Elementary
is great.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like Abbott Elementary. I'm in on that. It's a Philly girl who created it.
So yeah, here's a Philly elementary
school. Yeah, it's based in Philly. Ton of Philly references. Yeah.
So Abbott here's my first question on Steve Harvey show, John. Judge Steve Harvey. I mean, these aren't actual legal proceedings, right?
I guess not. I mean, he makes a ruling and everyone just accepts it.
So
I mean, yesterday he made a son pay his dad back the rent that his dad was asking due. And, you know, he made it like a heartfelt, like, well, this is what I would do with my family. I don't know. It was nice.
Well, I mean, it's not.
But it was not like legally binding.
So what happens here? People petition for Steve Harvey to basically be the arbitrator in your personal matter in life?
Yes.
Ray, would you want to take a personal matter in front of Judge Steve Harvey?
I think not. No, I don't think Steve Harvey has any legal standing. No, only on television.
215-592-9494. So the question came up about it comes up every day now about Hurts and quarterback and the future and their options. And Daniel Jeremiah said something pretty interesting recently.
I saw that.
It was on his podcast. His podcast with Bucky Brooks, the Move the Sticks podcast.
Right, I would not do this.
All right, so Daniel Jeremiah, of course, from the NFL Network, and he thinks there's a real shot the Eagles will be active here in the quarterback market. Listen to Daniel Jeremiah and how he frames the Eagles' offseason from a quarterback standpoint.
I don't know. And then people say, here's the other thing. They say, well, Eagles, we're not close. We're not a quarterback away. I'm like, you've got one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. You've got a premier tight end. You've got a more than functional running back. You've got a receiver who should be a high-volume 100-catch guy with good quarterback playing Devontae Smith. So, okay, you need to go get another receiver. The dime a dozen. I can find one in the second round in free agency, no big deal. The Cincinnati Bengals fixed their defense in one offseason in free agency. They had the first pick in the draft, which last I heard means you're the worst team in the league. And with an elite quarterback, within 2 years, they're in the second round of the playoffs because they got a quarterback. I'm like, that's not that far away as you think it is.
It does solve a lot of issues when you find the quarterback and the quarterback can play and play at a high level. Yeah, it quickly puts you back in contention.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know. I just look. You can say it's a rich price. You can say it's an overpay. But if there's one thing that you want to overpay for, it's a franchise quarterback because there are not that many of them.
I agree with Daniel Jeremiah 100%.
Isn't he the one who suggested that the Eagles
three first for Russell
trade
Wilson.
Their three first for Russell?
That's
Wilson
what he was responding
up, right.
to all the feedback he got
That's
back.
That's crazy.
That.
There's no way in the world you do that.
So here's my thought on that, John. The simple answer from my end on Russell Wilson and three first rounders is. I don't know where I stand on it because I don't know if you need to trade three first rounders.
Did you see Russell Wilson this year?
Let's say you had to. Let's say that the New York Giants are offering two first rounders and a second. The only way you beat them is with three. Would you go there?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would make that trade. I mean, contingent
Russell
James.
Russell Wilson is almost a lateral move the way he played this year. You realize that.
I think he was injured early in the year. I think the roster had gotten worse around him. I think he played better down the stretch, significantly better, by the way.
And his numbers weren't that bad. People are overrating him. People keep saying he was horrible. You look at his numbers, they weren't that bad.
Yeah, and here's the other thing I'd say is that, I mean, listen, you play for close to 10 years. You know, you're going to have 1 year where your team struggles. I mean, my God, the guy's been – his team's been above 500 or in the playoffs, like – every year.
He'll be 34 next year.
If I could get 5 years out of Russell Wilson at a Russell Wilson level, I believe that's worth trading three first round draft picks.
Be 34 next November. So like is during the season.
Now I don't know.
So you're gonna bank on Russell Wilson being the next Tom Brady.
No, I didn't say that.
Tom Brady's
10 more years. If you notice I said five because Russell
Wilson.
Okay,
how many quarterbacks play until they're 40?
It's not
about not many.
But, John, it's about what it's going to become. I mean, guys in the 1980s and 70s and 90s weren't going to play until their 40s because the rules were totally different. When Joe Montana got hit by Jim Burt, bye-bye. Bye-bye for the game. And if the 49ers had a game the next week, he wasn't going to play. The rules have completely changed the dynamics of pro football. But if you notice, I said 5 years for Russell Wilson because I do think his style is more like a guy that will play five more years, not a guy like Brady that played 10 more years. That's my mindset. Now, hopefully you don't have to give up three first-round draft picks, but if you had to, would I do it? Yeah. Ray, would you?
No.
Would you give up two?
I'm not sure I would. I'm kind of where John is. Everybody's got this. I think you got Russell Wilson memory is what you got. Yeah. You're thinking of the guy you saw 3 years ago. I'm not sure he's that guy anymore. Based on what I saw this year, I don't think he's that guy anymore. You know, everybody has this memory of how good he was, and he was. I mean, he was damn good. But I don't think he is now. I mean, the idea that you would even think about trading 3 first-round draft picks for the guy that you saw this year, I think you're out of your mind.
All right. Well, a lot of people told me I'm out of my mind. So, welcome to the club of.
If that's really what he is now, if he's that diminished a player, and I kind of think he is to a significant degree. I'm not saying he's done.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying he's done, but he's not the guy that people kind of remember what he was when he won the Super Bowl. That's not there anymore.
Well, an example would be Roethlisberger, who I think he finished up at about age 38, 39. Like his last 5 years would not have been worth giving up. 3 first-round picks.
Wouldn't be worth giving up one first-round pick.
Yeah, he was a diminished version of himself. So, I get
that's normal. Tom Brady is such an outlier. He's the only one to ever do what he's
doing. Rodgers is
Blanda.
Yeah, well,
and Blanda was kicking.
And Rodgers, though, is showing signs of being on his way to having a shot for that. I mean, there has been no slowdown from Rodgers. And, again, he's one of those guys – these top quarterbacks, they only fall down 3 or 4 times per game.
What we're talking about here, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they might be the 2 best ever.
Well, they're amongst the best, yeah. Oh, by the way, Ray, if you haven't seen the show, I don't remember what channel. There's a great documentary out on Joe Montana. Just debuted about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I knew about it. I knew it was in production.
It is quite outstanding.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
It's not as good as The Last Dance with Jordan, but it's good. Strong recommendation. I mean, look, you know the whole Montana thing. You talked to him a million times, interviewed him.
Yeah, I know. When I was at NFL Films, we did one on him that was meant to be the definitive Joe Montana, and it was called Joe Montana, The Fire Within. We did the best we could with it, but Joe's a tough subject. You know, Joe, you can't get Joe to talk about Joe. You know, he's either incapable of it or unwilling to do it. Now, I haven't seen this.
He goes there this
Maybe
time.
He's a little more reflective in this one. Yeah. But when we did it, and, you know, okay, it was 10 years ago, so maybe he's a little more detached and a little more reflective. But, I mean, I did a couple of the interviews with him, and to try and get him to talk about things and talk about himself and what drove him. He just kind of like said, I don't know, I just go out and play.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll say this so far, because I'm through 3 episodes. The others are coming out in the next couple of weeks. I feel like it's about halfway through, because we're in the mid-80s now. It's really fascinating, the battles he had in high school and college, where he was a part-time player in both high school and college. I mean, you know the deal, right? I mean, he was consistently doubted. And so I just want to recommend to people, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was he and Dan Devine, the Dan Devine years were not happy years in South Bend.
And by the way,
Rudy had a better chance of getting in the game than Montana did sometimes.
Look, you can tell he's also not thrilled with Rudy. He only says one thing about Rudy, but you can tell. Basically what he says, if the guys on the team knew that no one in Notre Dame history had ever been carried off the field, those players never would have carried Rudy off the field. Montana says they only carried him off the field basically as a joke. And then it spawned the Rudy phenomenon, which, you know, 20 years, 25 years later became a movie.
And he's giving motivational speeches.
Yeah, Montana.
He's like, that kind of stuff.
You can tell Montana's not thrilled with Rudy.
No.
I'm telling you, it's a good documentary. Let's go to Tom in Northeast Philly. Hey, Tom.
Hey, buddy. What's going on? Hey, I got a question for y'all. Do y'all own a trash can at home?
Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
Everyone do any? Everyone in there.
I'm going to answer for the group. Trash cans all around. Yes.
Okay, that's where Jalen Hurts belong.
Ooh.
Let me tell you, we have 2 things that you need in a quarterback. It's pocket presence and arm strength. How you have the best offensive line in the league and can't step up and make a pass? It's unacceptable. He will not make it in this league. Also.
I disagree with you. I don't think those are the top priorities for a quarterback, pocket presence and arm strength. I think it's
– What do you need?
I think it's
– Accuracy?
No. That is one of the things, but I think the number one thing is processing speed, like knowing where to go with the ball, knowing what you're looking at. I think that's number one. But those other things are important.
Yeah, that is number one, but – You got all the time in the world with the best offensive line. You can't make it. That's why they're running the ball. 30-plus times a game. But I got another. I got also another thing. I think this helped the Eagles what happened this year, though, because I feel like if it was worse, they will trade the draft picks. I'm happy that they're going to keep Jalen Hurts for one more year. They're going to build the defense. And a free agent that I will go for that I want so bad will be Mike Williams as a wide receiver. And I would think they should take all their draft picks and go defense. And then everybody in 94 WIP should bet under on Eagles wins, because Jalen Hurts will not end the season. The mustache will, because he's horrible.
Oh, boy. All right, Tom, give me someone universally loved.
I am going to say Robin Williams.
Well, it's got to be alive. Person's got to be alive.
Oh, person got to be alive. Mm-hmm. How about, oh, dang. I was about to say Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's alive. Oh, we'll he's alive. We'll give alive.
We'll
you that
give
one.
Me, we'll give you DeVito.
Okay.
All right, Tom, you got
good
it.
Good answer.
You know what's struck me today? Unless you count The Rock, and honestly, I don't, we haven't had anyone from sports.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Joe.
And look, I mean, it's hard to be universally loved. Back in the day.
Because you're a city,
look,
yeah.
Back in the day, more athletes were universally loved. Less so now because of the scrutiny, social media.
Totally.
You know, people poking and prodding
into
your
life. And
again,
just other fans. Like, if we could say Nick Foles is universally loved, I'll bet you Patriots fans don't love Nick Foles.
Well, right. I mean, I'm going nationally.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, period, though. That would happen with any national guy.
Yeah, but back in the day, I think guys like... I mean, Montana was really, and Walter Payton in Montana when I was growing up, and Magic Johnson when I was growing up.
But
was,
like, Celtics fans didn't love him. My point is universal.
I don't
there
know.
Is a
they,
way to get into
Celtics
that.
Fans respected Magic, though. I mean, he was a fierce competitor.
Respect. We're talking about universally loved today.
I don't know. Babe. I don't know. Red Grange. all right, Twitter poll question of the day. If you were in charge of the Philadelphia Eagles, would you keep Howie Roseman as the general manager of the Birds? A, yes. B, no. John, this is our definitive season-ending Howie poll, whether people want Howie to stay as the general manager of the team, which we know he will be, but whether people want him to stay as the general manager. Yes, keep him. B, fire him. John, where do you think the results came in?
Well, this is really tough to say.
And you would be a fire him, right?
I would.
I would be a keep him.
I know the bad taste of the last game is going to bring his Q rating down a little bit, I guess. So I think it's going to be close to 50-50 right now. They did have some success this year. That's going to – man, I'll say 47% say keep him.
Really good again.
It's unbelievable.
43% say keep him. 57% get rid of
him. Phenomenal with these.
John, Ray, we should go to Vegas.
I don't.
This guy.
It's unbelievable.
This guy, I'm telling
John
you.
John is for a guy that wasn't born in the city, he has a finger on the pulse of the Philadelphia fan.
Pretty good. Ray, speaking of pretty good, this weekend the game's up ahead. Which of the four playoff games left are you looking forward to this weekend the most?
Oh, Buffalo Chiefs.
Yeah, it's good.
Buffalo Chiefs. I think it's the best game, and you know if you're a Philly fan, you got to love the Sean McDermott Andy Reid angle. It's irresistible.
Oh,
you know what?
Yeah.
You know
what? Wow, he fired him. That's right.
You know what's really? You know what's? I was looking at the matchups, and I think it's. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. Is the disparity between the quarterbacks in the two conferences? You know, you look in the NFC, you got all these old guys, and in the AFC, man, you got young guns. You know, it's really interesting between the two conferences, the quarterback play. It really is.
It's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that either.
Yeah,
it is a totally – I mean, ever since Brady left the AFC to the NFC, it changed, that dynamic. Ray, just quickly back to the Eagles' entrance into the playoffs was by way of the seventh seed, which until last season was not a playoff spot.
Right.
Do you like the seventh seed making the playoffs or not?
No, I hate it.
Me too.
I mean, look at what you look at the 2-7 seed you had this year. You had Pittsburgh and the Eagles. And let's face it, at the risk of making the Eagles fans mad, the Eagles didn't belong there. And the Steelers didn't belong there. So you wind up the first playoff weekend, you wind up with two really bad games.
Three of the four seventh seeds that have made the postseason in these 2 years have gotten blown out.
Yeah.
Totally blown out.
Yeah, that's why I was not in favor of expanding. Yeah. Now, okay, the expansion allows the Eagles to get an extra week and everybody gets excited about them being in the playoffs and stuff, but to what end? I mean, it's just...
I'm with you.
You know, yeah, I mean, those are two brutal games. I mean, the Eagles game was a brutal game and the Steelers game was equally bad. So, I mean, that's what you get when you expand the playoff field. But do you think this is going to stop the owners? No way.
Exactly. The Diddy, Ray Dininger. Ray, it's been a pleasure all season. We look forward to the off season with you here every Wednesday, 12:45 to 1:45. Ray, as always, thank you, sir.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Ray.
There he is, the Diddy. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Time's Yours is next. More phone calls as well on 94 WIP. Hey, do you guys want to feel healthier in 2022? Do you want to be healthier in 2022? Well, I know the answer to both those questions is yes. So let me offer you the opportunity to consider a program with Co-Pair, a company I've been involved with here, a company designed to help you lose weight and be your partner for total wellness. Co-Pair can provide you with food each week, specifically chosen for your diet, nutrition, and weight loss goals. Plus, they have personalized coaching. I speak with my coach, Kurt, once a week. We talked yesterday on the show, on the phone after the show. He always helps me better understand nutrition, exercise options, and all sorts of stuff to point me in the direction of better health. Now, my situation is a classic example of what can also be beneficial to you with this, which is you get to do it from home. You don't have to go anywhere. You literally don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to a facility. I mean, they're based in D.C., and they've been helping people in the D.C. area for years, but they've expanded recently their outreach now to the Philadelphia area, and they can help you. I mean, I know they can. So consider doing what I've done and start Co-Pair. Sign up with Co-Pair at copairhealth.com. They can answer all your questions. You can look into the program, find out what works for you, and again, there's a lot there that can help you at copairhealth.com. Well, what I want to say is two things. The first is a reminder that tomorrow at 9 a.m., Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni will be a guest of Angelo's show. And it'll be mighty interesting to see how Sirianni answers the questions Angelo poses to him tomorrow, which you can imagine will be Hurts-based and other. I'm tell you what, it's probably going to be a good Rager question in there. How does he answer that one? So anyway, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Be ready. Angelo with Sirianni. Second thing I want to say. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Where did Jalen Hurts get better? I keep hearing it all day. Where did he get better at? 0-7 against winning teams or even decent quarterbacks. Where did he get better at? He regressed. Look at the offense in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year. Stop making excuses for this. I don't know when this all started in this town. We're so scared to tell the truth anymore. We used to kick bums out of this town after 2 games. Like, this dude don't got it. He don't got it. I don't care how good of a guy he is. He's a leader. What has he won? He transferred out of college to win a championship. Like, seriously, dude, he couldn't beat out Tua. Tua can't start in Miami. I mean, seriously, dude, like, this is enough.
There has been a lot of protectionism in recent years around here. I will say this. He did get better. I don't think it's fair to say
he think he got better.
Yeah, he did
but
get better.
The stat that he ended the season with 5 straight games where we were blanked in the first quarter, that is a problem. But it's also the coaching staff's problem, the offensive coordinator's problem.
There was also some games in there they only had the possession, I think, one time. I mean, the Eagles almost always deferred. So they'd start the ball. You know, they'd get the ball. My point is this. It wasn't like they had 3 or 4 first-quarter possessions a lot of times. But anyway.
We need defense in the draft. Fletcher Cox had 3 total tackles. Come on, man. Are you serious? And our front 4 is not that good. They're just not consistent enough. Time's yours.
We're paying Fletcher through 2026.
Yeah, that. Well, it won't go on that long. But at some point, they're going to have a hit for getting rid of him, whether it's a cut or a trade. But I don't think it's going to be this offseason because it's still too expensive.
What's up, Midday? I know you guys are primarily Eagles, but 9 in a row for the Flyers, I need to know what happened to them and who's responsible. I'm just filled up. They're so bad.
Well, dude, I totally agree with you. I mean, the Flyers are getting off really easy because we've been so immersed in Eagles talk. What's going on with the Flyers is just nothing short of a disgrace. I mean, they have gone from being the top organization in Philadelphia sports for about 40 years. I mean, really, they were the best in Philly sports to now the worst. And it stinks how bad they are.
Yo, those guys got you again. Of course, there's freckle juice. It's all over the world. Everybody drinks freckle juice. I actually have a case of elbow, shoulder, and rib juice. If you want to go online, it's on my website. 10-4, buddy.
Look at that guy. I think he was trying to make a funny at my expense.
I think he did.
And did he? Did he effectively pull it off? With that! Now I'm annoyed. With that! We shut it down.
The Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, let's go to Rick in West Philadelphia. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Rick.
About the Jalen regular situation, I think we should keep the draft pick and see what we can do with this man because we got a lot of needs.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do with him. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay, now that's your point. Now let me finish my point.
how's that for an answer?
The first thing I'd like to say to everybody.
You can do more without him.
Well, that's your opinion. I think that he's progressed. I think he did better. I think he'll get better along with that team. And this coach liked him. I don't understand why y'all don't like him. But outside of that.
Rick, he's just a bad player, man. He's a bad player that doesn't project to become a good player, and that's the problem.
Well, that's your opinion again.
I know it is.
Right, but everybody got an opinion.
Yeah.
But we got to understand something. The fact is this. First of all, is Ray still there?
We can hear you, Rick.
No, Ray is now gone.
Oh, Ray, I'm sorry.
What I'm trying to say is this. Because we need so many things, I would like to keep those picks. But here's what I think is going to happen, and y'all made a point. And I heard that thing with Howie Roseman too. And he went one way and then went another way. I got a feeling they could get Deshaun Watson like that, he's gonna go for it.
It's a possibility. All right, Rick, we gotta start turning two. Give me someone universally loved.
I got this one. Oprah Winfrey.
Has already been said. It's a great answer. Give me someone else.
Okay. Somebody alive, right?
Someone alive.
Okay. Oh my God. Diana Ross.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, sure.
Who did he say?
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, you got it. Why do you guys hear better than me?
Because we hear better than you.
Like, I did not hear Diana Ross at all. And you think other people heard Diana Ross?
I mean, Richie and I both did.
Like, I just flat out didn't hear that. I mean, there's no part of that that I heard. When he said, is Ray still there? I thought he said, can you guys still hear me? I thought he said, can you guys still hear me? That's why I said yes. And John's like, no, Ray's not here. I'm like, what is going on? All right, we turn it too fast. Lenny, give me someone universally loved, Lenny.
This person was born the same day as me, January 29th, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, you got it. Edward, give me someone. Hold on, here we go, phone line. Edward, someone universally loved. Edward.
Well, I'm going to go with Jesus.
Got to be alive, Edward.
Yes, Jesus rose.
All right, there you go, Jesus rose. I was going to go like the Holy Spirit there. All right. We got to make a call here, John and James. We got some great answers. We got Denzel Washington, universally
I like
loved.
Denzel and Oprah.
We got Oprah. We got Vince Scully. We got Tony Bennett. We got the Dalai Lama. Seltzer? I am good with it being between Oprah, Vince Scully, and Denzel.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's Oprah.
I think it's either Oprah or Vince Scully, to be honest. I love Denzel, but I think it's Oprah or Vince Scully.
I think it's Oprah.
Yes.
I'm definitely good with Oprah. Oprah's
and
great.
And part of the reason is because Oprah has more, I mean, we're talking universe, like
yeah,
wider
Vince Scully,
range.
It's only baseball fans, really.
Vince Scully's American baseball. I'm sure there's people overseas that are very familiar with Oprah and love her.
Yeah, Oprah's the answer.
Oprah's the answer. That's a big accomplishment. When you become the winning answer for universally loved, someone, if you know Oprah, let her know. Let her
You've
know Philadelphia folks. Seriously.
I mean, it's probably the biggest accomplishment in her lifetime, right? I mean, what else has she done that's as important as this?
Oprah is awesome. So congrats to Oprah. Everyone, have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Remember, 9 o'clock tomorrow, Nick Sirianni's interview with Angelo. Coming up next, John Marks and Ike Reese on 94 WIP.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.